All right, 9:47. I'm getting a lot of texts about David Hammer and quit claims. If you want to go back and re-listen, download the Odyssey app, and you'll be able to rewind and go back and listen as many times as you need. You can also go to WWL.com and click on My Name, Tommy Tucker, and eventually we'll have the audio posted, and you'll be able to listen to it that way. Patty LaPierre joins us, a crime victim advocate. Talk about Debbie Villio's Truth and Transparency Bill as it relates to juvenile offenders. Good morning, Patty. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me what happened with this bill. First of all, there's a lot going on in people's lives. Explain what the bill would have done as it was proposed.
Well, the bill as it was proposed would have allowed for victims to be able, and the citizens who are already, they're already by law allowed to attend public hearings of the violent juvenile. Okay, that's not someone who just breaks into your car or steals it in the middle of the night. That we're still not allowed to know anything about those juveniles. But this is the juvenile that puts a gun in his hand, commits rape, murder, armed robbery, carjacking. Okay, so we're not talking about just a misdemeanor or even a crime of a vehicle theft to break in. So this would allow the public access to see when the juvenile's name, when the hearing, when all these hearings are, any updates in his status, if he's still in custody, things that, you know, are important in our community, because these juveniles have they're holding us hostage. Everyone's afraid, you know, you're afraid to sit in your car for longer than 30 seconds, if that. You're afraid, you know, to have your kids stay here as they grow up. There's just, they're terrorizing our city.
All right, so tell me about, I just don't want to run out of time. Patty, tell me about what happened with the bill.
So the bill, the House Bill 321 went through the House committee, the House floor, got to the Senate, through the Senate committee, but then it was sent to the Senate Finance Committee, where it died there for reasons of procedural reasons, where they knew that it was going to not make it out of there because it required more than $100,000. It had a fiscal note of greater than $100,000. We're talking about, we had a budget of $39 billion this session, and they couldn't come up for our crime bill that's so important right now for our state and for all, for public safety. They couldn't get this straight. The clerks of court, the chief of the clerks of court over the state, put enough, you know, hurdles to this bill to where it died in the Senate Finance Committee. And so we have to, you know, we're not going to give up. We're going to start over again next year. And hopefully, you know, this will pass. But it's also important to see, for the public to see what the judges, the juvenile judges, are doing with these kids who have been reoffenders and violent reoffenders.
So do you want to name some names? Who do you think was behind this not getting passed? Because it seemed as though there was a lot of support for it. Then all of a sudden somebody said something and goes to finance, and knowing the procedure of the legislature, it dies.
Well, you know, I know that the different clerks in the parishes that it was proposed for, it was going to go statewide, but for electronically, just in five parishes. And the other parishes, you would have had to walk into the clerk's office, but you would have had it all available to you. But, you know, our clerk of court, Darren Lombard, I don't think was in favor of this. The chief of the clerks, Debbie Hudnall, I think made it very difficult for Debbie Villio's bill. And I don't know about the Baton Rouge and Shreveport clerks, but these things were worked out ahead of time, and we thought it was a go. But I have to tell you, sitting in Baton Rouge and watching the way the committee members just are so disrespectful to the people testifying. These victims take their time away from their injured loved ones, who they go to the hearing, and they're talking and they're pleading their case. And the legislators some of them aren't even at their seat. And if they're at their seat, they're talking to the other one in the other one's ear. And it's just, it's really discouraging to see how seriously they take this issue, which no one wants to be sitting where Elizabeth Hansard is or Sherrilyn Price is or any of the other victims that, you know, that are going through what they're going through. And it could happen in a heartbeat.
And just to be clear, we're talking about people like that escape from the Bridge City Youth Center and wound an electrician.
Absolutely.
That's on his way to work and whose wife subsequently dies. I don't know if it was a result of it or not. You got to believe it had something to do with it. Go ahead.
I will tell you that if this bill had been in place, these victims of the armed robberies back in spree of armed robberies back in December of 2021, the juveniles, if this bill would have been in place, those victims would have been allowed to know about the hearings, to be there, to get these kids to see that they were back out again on the street. Mr. Toops would not have possibly not have been shot. No, he would not have been shot because one of the individuals was involved in these armed robberies that was out 6 months later to be able to get the gun for the other individual that escaped from Bridge City. No, it's connecting the dots, and the people in government do not want us to connect the dots. They do not, you know, they say that this is a racist bill. It is not. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got everything to do with public safety. It's just a fact that, you know, we're being attacked by these juveniles. And the juveniles, in a sense, are being attacked by the system. The system's not allowing them any chance. It keeps throwing them back out into the public. And so I think that some sunlight on what's going on in the juvenile system, on the most violent of the juveniles, would have been, you know, something very advantageous to everyone here.
Thank you, Patty. I appreciate your time. I really do. We're out of it. I know you're not going to let this go, so I know you'll probably be active during election season with this, bringing it up and making it something along
Absolutely.
The campaign trail. And we'll talk to you, and we'll stay in touch, okay? Thank you for
Thank
all you,
you
do.
Thank you so much, Tommy.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Patty LaPierre, crime victim advocate. Take a break. Find out where the New World Tour stops today. Back in a flash, WWL.